And no, no, this is not a weer. This is another type of storm. Today's sermon, some of you have actually heard more or less the whole sermon, but I'm actually going to repeat it because I believe it's something we must hear more often. It's also something that I believe it's something for now. And that's why I'm going to share this message. The other amazing thing, I don't know if you always realize, but when we worship or even preach, we don't just preach to you. You know, it's also we are preaching into the spiritual realm. So part of the sermon today will definitely be also to speak in the spiritual realm, because a lot of the people that must hear the message ain't actually here. You know, so there's one of those, if I can put it like that. So what I mean with a storm is, it's just lately we've just experienced so much intercession that that people are going through an interesting time, not a phase, but an interesting time, in that, you know, we've just seen so many people, and actually God warned us about it in our intercession, is that we are suddenly a bit more prone for offenses, or more prone towards anger, or even as if like we are quicker to criticize, and we are more frustrated, you know, and stuff like that. And suddenly it's a few things that's a bit, you know, what's the English word, krapperig. What's krapperig? Scratchy, itchy. I don't think that's the right translation. Irritated, they say. Afrikaans people know krapperig. You know, it's a bit krapperig. So there's a few things that happens. And what we can learn out of the Bible, if you read about the good shepherd and the 100 sheep, and we see the one sheep that go astray, and Jesus go after that one sheep, it shows something of God's heart. But it also shows something about the devil's strategy. You know, what he wants is to try and get someone to go astray. You know, you want to isolate people to do what? Not to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. So what we find is what the devil's strategy will always be is to distract us. He tries to distract us from hearing God's voice. And that's why a lot of these things are suddenly happening in life. You know, and it's different for different people. For some of you, it might be actually at your workplace. It's suddenly there's so much pressure on your work. You know, you try to do the right things, but it just keeps on adding. You know, it's like you never get to the front. And also, you know, maybe it's stuff like in your relationships. You know, relationships that's been working well, suddenly now there's some krapperigheid again. You know, if I can, I'm sure you all now by now know the Afrikaans word krapperigheid. You know, so but there's things where the devil tries to distract us from hearing the good shepherd's voice. I'm thinking about even before I had this whole message of grace and everything, but what the devil also wants to do is to leave a bitter taste in our mouth. You know, for those who's in the missions team, I remember, you know, I don't know how many missions teams I've been on, but most of your prayer usually happens right in the end, because you need to be sharp right in the end, because usually the devil just wants to do that thing right on the end. And I also believe that we as a church is at a place where God have done so many good things, but now the devil wants to leave a bitter taste. You know, so I want us to just be aware. And that's why I'm also saying the things that we're going to preach about is actually things the rest of the people must also hear. People at your work, you know, people in our small groups. There's a lot of people that's not here today, and there's reasons why they're not here. But I want us to really be aware of this. Okay. I want to start reading at Matthew 8, verse 23 to 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep, that's not Jesus, and they went and woke him up. "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey?" Now, what I want us to see here is that the storm, I want us to see, that represents all those krapprigheid that we have at the moment. You know, things that irritate us, frustrate us, you know, things that's not like, and I want you to see it as a storm here. And what we find is that even with the disciples with Jesus on the boat, they also have the storm. And now they awake Jesus and say, you must now fix the storm. But what I want us to see here and to focus on is that our focus should not be on the storm. That's exactly what the devil wants. And that's exactly, I think, what Edna was also saying this morning is such a confirmation. The devil at this stage wants us to focus on the storm. He wants us to go and speak to the storm like just Christians can do. You know, but what Jesus wants is to, we must actually focus on him right now. So it's a very simple message today. Is there's a lot of things happening, but our focus should be on Jesus. It's like Peter with Jesus on the water, the moment he looked away, he started sinking. And that is the thing I want to remind all of us. This is a stage in your own life where you should try and see Jesus right in the eyes. Don't look at the storm. You know, and I'm going to give you a few examples, and it's very interesting to see Jesus' reaction also here. If you see, the Bible says it was a great storm. So it was not a little one. It was a great one. If you talk about a great storm, if it was CNN, they would say this is the biggest storm in the last 100 years or something like that. You know, so this was, they were fishermen. If they say it's a great storm, it means it was a great storm. I mean, the boat is cracking or something. Now, when they are waking up Jesus, Jesus is asking, why are you afraid? What type of question is that, you know? You know, I can just think, now please see it in the disciples' eyes. I mean, it's a great storm, and Jesus is asking, why are you afraid? Now, we don't see the response of the disciples, but I think they were probably like, duh, you know? Can you see the waves? The boat is cracking. We are sinking. You know? I mean, they were saying, Lord, we are, you know, save us. So they were thinking they are drowning. And so now, you must see here what's going on here. The boat, everything is cracking, everything. And Jesus is asking, you know, it's one of those small group stupid questions that we sometimes ask. You know, why are you afraid? And the message Jesus was trying to give to them, if I'm on the boat, you don't need to be afraid. You know, but the only thing that they saw is they were seeing the great storm. But they didn't see the great God on the boat. And this is what I mean by this is a message for now. I really believe now is not the time to rebuke the storm. Now is the time to focus on Jesus. You know, and there will be a time like where we need to rebuke the storm again. But for this stage, I believe the devil actually wants to distract us by to let us to focus on the storm. You know, that's why actually at the moment, it's not the time for spiritual warfare. You know, there's even a time in warfare where the soldiers need to sit in the trench. You know, that's part of warfare. And if you understand, a lot of times the Israelites would do warfare without doing war, if I can put it like that. You think the Israelites had to walk quietly around the walls of Jericho. You know, sometimes they just worship. You know, and the enemy was slaughtered. So I want us, you know, to be aware that a lot of things is happening in our lives, and it's there to distract us from focusing on Jesus. What I also want to mention is like with the whole storm, and again with the Israelites, they are justified to be afraid. You understand what I'm saying? So most of the things that distract us, you are actually justified to be distracted or be frustrated or be irritating. So things will happen and you are actually right. You've got reason to be all these things. Just as the disciples, they had, you know, enough reason to be afraid. But Jesus wanted to show them, no, focus on me. And this is what I'm trying to say this morning to us, is yes, the things that irritating you, frustrating you, is probably, yes, you've got reason for it, but it's a distraction. And I want us all to realize this in this specific season. I also want to read to you Exodus 14 verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Isn't that weird? The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, of the king of Egypt, And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued him with all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. Then the next part. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight your fight, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Now, again, we find a similar situation. You actually also find like a storm. There's enough reason for the Israelites to be afraid and to be worried, or even irritated. You will know just the part before this, or in between, they were actually saying to Moses, "Why did you bring us here? You know, wasn't there, I think, enough graves in Egypt," or something like that. You know, so they had reason to be upset. But, you know, God wanted to teach them something here. Now, I want you to notice a very also interesting question. I want to say, God asked very interesting questions. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" Now, the "you" there is in a single. So it was, "Moses, why do you, Moses, cry to me?" It's not, you know, Afrikaans, it would say, "Waarom, jy?" So it's not the people, it's you. Now, why would God ask that question to Moses? Okay, those that into your, you know, ontleed die Bible. Why would God ask Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" And I think we also see here a very interesting thing that let me tell you first what the commentary says the answer is. They say Moses or God asked this question because of God and Moses' very intimate relationship, and God had like a compassion for Moses, and he knew them by heart, and that's why he could do it. But I've got a little bit of a different theory, and don't quote me on this, you know. But, and I don't say this is the true answer. The Bible doesn't say what's the answer. So we can all have our opinion. But I think why God did this is that Moses actually panicked right here. He saw the Egyptians coming, and he saw a storm, and now he's panicking. And now what he did was he did the religious right thing. He started prophesying. Now, the things that they say there, is 100%. He says, you know, "Stand still, don't be afraid." And he says that God will give us the salvation, and we all know him, and we will not see the Egyptians again. You know. So he was saying the right things, and then God says, "Why do you cry out to me?" Now, listen what God is saying just after that. "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." So what he's actually saying to Moses is, you're going the wrong way. You know, the answer is in that side. What it is telling me is that God is saying to Moses, no, you should actually turn your back to the storm. See, the answer is in this side. And that is usually what the devil tries to do. If he can distract you, even with religious stuff, it will get you where you don't focus on Jesus, and you will do the wrong thing. Now, how do I know that Moses' prophecy there was out of his flesh? Well, obvious, when a prophecy, a true prophecy, is when you hear God say something, then you say it. Well, here, Moses said, "Stand still." God said, "Go forward." So they weren't having the same message here. So I believe Moses, although he said the right things, it actually came out of his flesh. And that's why God actually told him, "Moses, where are you? You know, haven't we done this before?" type of thing. You know, "Why do you cry out to me?" You know, because we all know the story. God made a whole fire, a line of fire between the Israelites and the Egyptians. No one prayed for that. You know, God did it by himself. So here we are having a situation. God is saying, no, that side. You know, "I'm here. You're missing me." And, you know, maybe I've told this story a few years ago. I was standing in church and God just said to me, I just had this conviction that he really wants to talk to me. And he took me right to this place in the Bible And he said to me, if I was Moses, what would I have done? And I said to God, and I was just very honest. I said to God, well, I know there are 600 chariots and all this army. I don't know how big the army was, but I was seeing it in my imagination. And I was seeing, well, we're a few million. So I would just say, well, let's attack them. You know? And I would probably, and this is where I would have done the same as Moses, I would have quoted the Bible here. I would say, first seek the kingdom of God. You know, attack, you know, some of you will die, you know, die to self, you know, to live you must die, you know, so let's go, some of you will die, but at least we will win, and I would have said, and God will get the glory, you know, type of thing, and God said to me, yes, Janko, that's exactly what you would have done, you know, and he said to me, yes, and you would be the one running right on the front, and you would also be the first one to be killed, you know, and what God tried to say to me, that often, the answer is not where the storm is at. What God was trying to show to me, and I believe to also show to you, is that when we start to focus on God, not on the storm, He will open up the sea. And this is, and again, when we focus on Jesus, on the end of the day, the disciples didn't calm the storm, Jesus did. So all those things happen, but not because they focused on the storm. We sometimes want to focus on the storm and then we hope that Jesus will calm the sea. Or we want to focus on the Egyptians or the storm and we hope that God will now make a way. Kill him with his thumb or something. You know, but that's our way of thinking. And I also believe that's the way that the devil tries to distract us. You know, so he also used our religious knowledge background to do that. Amen. Do you all understand? And that's why, you know, at this stage, you will find a lot of your friends, even Christian friends, but also non-Christian friends, that will enjoy, if I can put it like that, to complain about things. Or they would do stuff. Now, what is very important is something the first guy said, is to listen. Because, as I said, with the Egyptians and with the disciples in the storm, the things that people want to complain about is justified. So it's not that they are wrong. It's also not wrong to complain or, you know, all these things. But what is important is to afterwards remind this person, okay, but let's put it aside and focus on Jesus. And that's why I loved what Edna said. That's exactly what she did. She said, you know, she just felt God actually saying to her, turn your back on your problems. Don't think about it now. Let's focus on me. And then God will come and give that peace. So there's a place, like the Bible says, our war is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual things. But at this stage, I want to say to you, the way of making war now is focusing on Jesus. There will be a time for making that spiritual warfare where we do our shouts and all those things. But at this stage, I believe the thing is like worship. And I can ask you now, even in your own quiet time lately, you know, in your own quiet time, how much of your quiet time was focusing on Jesus and how much was it on focusing on the storm or those things that irritate you? And again, that's what I mean by the devil's trying to distract us with all these things. Now, how do we, first of all, focus on Jesus in this time of a storm? And I want to read to you Matthew 80 verse 1 to 5. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And this is for me a key. If we can humble ourselves and become like children again, even in the midst of the storm. You know, I told some of you this story, but I remember in 1988 when it was our great flood among the Orange River. Now I was in today's term, grade 3. Yeah. And so I was quite young. And now you must understand, we farm a vineyard, and obviously the flood, you know, it's not good for the vineyards. And it was harvesting time. So we actually harvest at that time. But now you can think my dad, he definitely saw the storm, if I can put it like that. You know, and that was always not a good time for him. But for me, or we as the children, we had the best time of our life. You know, I remember, you know, going to school, we had to drive in one of those very high, I don't know what you call it, army trucks. I think it's those that can drive over a landmine. I don't know what they call. But you can think we went with our cameras and everything, you know, all the mothers, and it was one great time because we actually lived on an island. So we were cut off with the rest of the town, but we had to go to school for at least a while. You know, so that was our most exciting time every morning to get to the army truck and go drive to school. And when the water level started to rise, there was a lot of things on the farm that started floating. You know, again, we would climb on those things and float over the vineyards, actually, you know, to another point, you know. So we had the time of our life. And that's the thing of children. When there's a storm, you know, they don't realize the size necessary of the storm. Because the dad, that's his worries, in a sense. When you're young, you know it's not your worries, it's your dad's worries. And the same it is with what I believe when God says, humble yourself. Because if we try to fix our storms, we're actually saying, well, I can be God in this situation. I can fix it myself. Where God actually wants to say to you, no, I want to fix it. But focus on me, not on the storm. So, yes, just interesting. I remember our house was in three levels. And my older sister, which when she would sleep, she would always sleep with her arm down there on the bed. So my dad made her sleep on the lowest level. So if the water would rise, she would first feel it, you know, so that we can get out of the house. You know, but yeah, there were so many funny things that happened at that stage. By the way, at some stage, we couldn't go to school anymore. The water was too high. And we would actually harvest beneath the flood wall. So the waters would be here, and we would be harvesting here. And again, today, I know it was, you know, I know it's crazy. But back then, it was like, you know, we just had fun. You know, our best thing was to walk up on this wall that could break at any time. You know, and we were watching everything going past and, you know, everything. So we had a great time of our lives. And that's the thing that's childlike. That you, some of your fears are on your dad. You don't need to fear about it. And this is the thing that we sometimes make the mistake. We want to fear. I also want to read to you Philippians 2 verse 1 to 5. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others higher or better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is something I just also want to remind us. Even in this time of storm, it's just very human to start to focus on yourself. You know, and you're more like, what, I'm right, they're wrong type attitude. You know, and I want to remind all of us to get in that place where you esteem either better or higher than yourself. So even in hello. So even in this time, you know, that we should focus on it to first see the point of view of the other person. You know, listen. That's the key word. We don't listen enough, especially in a time of war or a time of storm. We don't want to listen. We are focused on our own thing now. And it's human, it's natural, but that's why I'm reminding you. Let's say at work, if someone irritates you, remember that this is the way that they want to distract you. So don't get so angry that quickly. You know, don't get that quickly frustrated or irritated. Then I also want to read to you Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So there's a place where, in the midst of all these things that happen, when we go to God, there's a peace that's above all understanding. So there's a place where the boat is cracking, but you just have so much peace. You know, you can't explain it to people. I'm just reminded, it's nothing to do with the sermon now. I'm just reminded, I saw this this video clip of ABC News. And they did a scientific study on Christians that speak in the spirit, speaking in tongues. Don't know if you've seen it. You can go and Google it. So they did this, you know, if you, when you talk, you use your front lobe, what do you call it, in your mind. And so they, you can actually see when you're talking, this part is the active part. So they did a study on Christians and other religions too. And they found that when we as Christians speak in the spirit, we actually don't use that lobe, you know. But when other religions, you know, they also have something similar. When they do it, that part actually overreact. You know, so, and this amazing thing, when we spend time with God, you know, there's another thing in our time of worship, our meditation. Now, in Christian meditation, I don't know if you know, but Christian meditation is a good thing. David did a lot of meditation. But in, the difference in Christian meditation is we fill our mind. Now, where with Eastern meditation, they're trying to empty their mind. And it's so funny because they're trying to empty it, but they're overreacting their mind. You know, it's a bit ironic. You know, and this is where we can experience that peace because it's from the Holy Spirit. It's something only God can do. It surpasses all understanding. And I really want to encourage all of us, you know, this, like tonight with the worship also, my heart for that, that is really just a place where you can actually shut down and just focus on God. Just to focus on Jesus. You know, we all need something like that. I also just want to tell you a story with the students also being here. I remember in my second year at university. Now, to give you some background, I didn't have science, wetenskap, at school. So my first year, I failed physics. And chemistry. That was bad. That was very bad subjects. Anyway, so my second year, I had to do the chemistry all over again. And it was terrible again. I still to this day, I hate chemistry. And but because I did it the previous year, I didn't need to do practice and all those things. So my pericot, now just for those who need, your pericot is your exam that you write to give you the license to write the actual exam. Does it make sense? So there I went and I write this exam, or this pericot exam. And I knew if I fail chemistry again, I'm actually out of the university. They're going to kick me out. So it was pretty much a storm-like situation for me. And I studied quite a lot. And there we went and write, and it was terrible. And afterwards, a lot of students complained, and we realized that the lecturer, in his, see, he didn't know Philippians 2, in his selfish ambition, he told another lecturer, I don't know where is Daniel. Is Daniel here? Oh, there he is. I know he also has chemistry. Now, you will know, there was like a chemistry 114. Now, that's like a cursed word, actually. Now, those were the difficult, those, only the slim people, only the clever people do chemistry 114. The rest of us do the other one. So our lecturer told that lecturer 114 that his students can also pass their exam. So they gave us their exam. So the whole class pretty much failed. I remember my pericot was then 24%. So, you know, I'm now being kicked out of the university. So I was not impressed. And in this situation, you know, I'm right. You know, this guy, hy droog gemaak. You know, it was his fault. You know, I was so, so angry. It's one of the very few times that I actually stood up in a class. But by now, I was the second year in the first year class. So I was one of the older people. But, you know, I was really, you know, angry at this. And they told us, no, but they will change our marks by using our pract marks and lift that. Now, I didn't have black marks because I did it my second time. So mine was pretty much clear, you know, it's 24%. And I remember walking back to some of my friends, and when I walked in, they looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And I realized, okay, you know, I'm really in distress here. And I actually just closed the door again, and I walked, and I just started praising and worshiping God and really spent time with Him. And I remember at some stage in my spirit, I could just see, I was actually just, you know, I was so far deep, drowning or something, that I actually just gave it to God. And I saw in my spirit how I was giving this something to God, and He took it, and He closed His hands around it, and when He opened it, it was gold. Now, as you can feel, I was in a very anger mood still at that stage. I was saying to God, God, I don't want to be funny here, but my 24 is not exactly gold. You know, I'm going back here. And so God actually took the gold again, and He closed His hands again. And when He opened it, it was a normal rock. And He broke it. And He said to me, out of this I will make fertile ground. And to me, that was that place of surpassing peace, surpassing all understanding. I didn't understand how. I know, you know, yeah, I'm going to be kicked out. But the peace for me, I thought, was like, okay, I'm going back. God had a better plan. I shouldn't be in university and all those things. And I just, you know, was another person when I walked out of that room that day. Just to end off the story, a few days later, I walked to see what's the final prayer mark. Now, mine was 24. There's no other things that could help me. But when I walked, and I was like ironically going to watch, you know. But I already made peace that it's, you know, I'm going back. And when I looked, I had 56% perikot. And to this day, I never asked any questions. You know, it was like, okay, thank you, God. You know, because there's no way, I don't think I ever got a chemistry mark of above 56 anyway. And I passed that chemistry at least that year. But the amazing thing is, it was in that time, it was just focusing on God. You know, I really, really, after that peace, I didn't even think about it. I was like already started thinking of, going back to my hometown. I will help with the youth ministry and stuff like that. You know, and that is the things that peace does. I also want to read you 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And a lot of times this fear of these storms, what it wants to do is get us in a spirit of fear. And the opposite of a spirit of fear is a spirit of power and love. You know, and that's the thing that the devil, again, he tries to get a fear in us, because then we won't see God actually. So I want to speak that verse over us. Then also Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba Father. And I'm sure by now you are getting the point of the whole message. It's a time to focus on Jesus. It's a time not to focus on the fears and all these things. God will fix that. But it's a time to focus on Him. And you know, a lot of people, I think Etna also said it, you know, sometimes they want this great counseling and deliverance and all these things. But the best deliverance is when you are spending time with God. For those that's going to do F4, you know, that's our deliverance foundation. But you will find it's not going to, in the moment, feel like deliverance. You know, you just stand there or sit, whatever, and praise and worship. You spend time with God. What you actually do, you're going to tell you the whole time to focus on Jesus. You know, it's the same if it's dark in here, you put the light on. The darkness and the light doesn't fight. It just disappears. You know, and that's the thing, you know, I know a lot of people have done F4 and got deliverance. And if you ask them afterwards, they can't tell you it was exactly there, you know. But they know they're delivered. You know, so God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So, you know, there's no fear. You know, there should never be any fear. God doesn't operate in a place of fear, but out of love. So if you can just all stand, we're going to focus on Jesus. The worship team can also come forward. While the worship team come forward, also going to worship God with our finances. So if we can quickly collect some offering. If you can also tell you another story where we sometimes even, this is for the, you know, also for the missions team. I remember in our time once in India, in India, the devil especially tries to distract you. And I remember the one that me and Sandra, we were the co-leaders, and one of the girls came to us and she told us, yeah, but she has a problem with this another girl on the team. Now, those have ever been on any mission team, there's always a girl that has a problem with another girl. It's just always like that. Anyway, so I can't see all of you. So the funny thing is, now she's telling us, now it's obvious, now why? What's wrong, you know? And we all know the whole unity, you know, must always be unity. And so she's telling us, no, but she sees a demon on this other girl's shoulder. And we must do something about it. And the funny thing is now, I was listening to all of this and I was like, yeah, you know, that's why you always have a lady co-leader too, you know, because sometimes we as men, you know, I know one way. Anyway, so I actually asked her, typical me, just ask her, you know, I just want to know, you know, here we are in a country with more than 1 billion people. You know why God sent us here. When did you get the time to see all of this? You know, I don't even get time to see stuff like this because there's a, you know, you can think in India, if this was a church in India, this would be a mega church. That would fill probably, I don't know, 500 people in here. You know, they are so hungry, so hungry, the children especially. So you can only see the children, the things that God wants to do. So I actually told her in the end, listen, you are distracted. You know, leave the girl. You know, at least she does her thing. You know, if it is with or without the demon, at least she's focusing on what God is telling her what to do. So the one is distracted. It's not her, it's you. You know? So and a lot of times you will see the devil distract us with Christian things. If you understand what I'm saying. So a lot of us need to stand again and ask ourselves, why are you here? Why did God put you here? Why did God put you in this church? Why did God put you in this town? And that should be your focus, but because Jesus told you. No one else. And yes, I hope it helps someone in here. But that's really a place where we need to focus on God. You know, there's too many, if I can put it, sidetracks, but things that, you know, it's like a Christmas tree. There's too many things on the Christmas tree, if I can put it like that. You know, so I want us to praise and worship now, but really to focus on Jesus. Amen. If we can just all close our eyes, I'm going to just pray for us. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, that even in this time, whether there's a storm or even if it's going well, Father God, I pray, God, that you will help us, Father, individually, but also us as church, but also us as a town, Father God, to really focus on you, Father God, to not look at the things, even the good things, Father, not even our own success, Father God, but to really focus on you, Father. And I even want to, Father, my heart is really going out for those that doesn't know this message, that doesn't know that in this time of storm, Father God, they can look up to you, Father God. And Father, we as a church also want our heart and our faith want to go out to those people, Father God. And I pray, God, that you will help us as a church, Father God, to reach each one, Father God, that needs to hear the message that you are actually in the boat. Don't look at the storm, but look at Jesus on the boat. And Father, even if we're standing here, and I just want, if you associate with this, just to raise your hand. If you are sitting here, or standing here today, and you know in your own quiet time, it's been quite some time since you have really experienced that peace, where God can really show you like the picture of the gold and the rock, as he showed me. If you are standing here and you feel this just been so long since you've really experienced that peace in your life, just raise your hand for God to see. Amen. Yes, Father God, I want to thank you, God, for every hand that was raised, Father God. And I know, Father God, wherever they're in their life, Father God, I thank you, God, that God, you are on that boat, on their boat, Father God. And I pray, God, that they will see you, Father God. And even like Etna said, Father God, that we will see each other through your eyes, Father God. And that even, Father, I thank you, God, even for this, the chocolate all the fathers got today, Father God, the Kit Kat. And Father, take a break, Father God. And I pray, God, that we will all take a break, Father, and spend time with you, Father God, and to focus on you, Father God. And yes, God, that we experience the sweetness and your love, Father God. And thank you, God, that you're going to help us, Father, not to be distracted, and that you, the doors that you've opened for us, Father, that you, thank you, God, you're not going to close it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're going to give this time over to you, Father God, and I pray that you will touch every person to come to that place of peace, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If any one of you feel that you are, even in a time of worship, even while we are worshiping, if you feel you really struggle to get to that place of peace, please come forward and we will pray with you. The Bible says, you know, we're the elders, we should lay our hands on you. So please come forward if you are struggling with just getting to that place of peace, or if you are really struggling with fear. I'm saying really struggling, but even if there's any fear, please come forward and we can pray for you. Amen.
How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
The splendor of a king,
the splendor of our king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. So how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Sing how great,
Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And our hearts will sing how great our God. Oh, you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And our hearts will sing how great is our God. Oh, then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, and how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior great thou art, how great thou not for all. This is our God. You lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and kings rescue the world. This is our God. Fall at your feet. We will fall at your feet, and we will worship you here. And we will fall at your feet. We will fall your feet, and we will worship you here. 'Cause freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and kings rescue the world. This is our God. And freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and kings rescue the world. This is our God.
Seated in honor at
Come and take up your throne. Our hearts are yours alone. Lord, rise up within us and reign. And we cry, worthy the Lamb has risen, and to be seated in honor and praise. Come and take up your throne. Our hearts are yours alone. Rise up within us and reign.
Just the voices.
And we cry, worthy the Lamb who has risen to be seated. Come and take up your throne. Our hearts are yours alone. Lord, rise up within us and reign. Oh Lord, rise up within us and
keep on playing softly. Anyone who feels like there's a song for the Lord or a song that you need to sing, you're welcome to come forward and sing it. Otherwise, let's just sit and be still before the Lord.